"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John Cobell Podcast on the iHeartRadio app. If you missed the 1 o'clock hour, you should listen to the podcast later after 4 o'clock as we went through the whole Boeing situation thoroughly. They have failed dozens of government audits. Their factory floor, their whole procedure is just a mess. We talked with Alex Stone about that. And now we're going to talk to Flash Shelton. We're on Instagram Live, if you care. Flash Shelton calls himself the Squatter Hunter. Found this in the El Segundo Times this morning. This is a fascinating story. If you have a squatter in your house, and this is increasingly common, friends of ours had a squatter. They were moving from one place to the other. First house was empty for a time, and they came back one day, and yeah, the guy was living there. This is a big deal. There was a story that there's 1,200 squatters just in the Atlanta metropolitan area. And they are somewhat protected the way the legal system works. They can end up sitting there for months and months. Takes a long time to pry them out. So Flash Shelton decided to, formed a business as the Squatter Hunter, and he will move into your house too. And eventually he convinces the squatter maybe it's a good idea to leave.
Now, ouch!
How he does this, we're going to find out. Flash Shelton, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I was really amused by this story. You got into the business because of a squatter in your mother's home.
Yes, 2019, after my dad had passed away, we were selling her house and moved her in with me. Squatters took over the house, and I did what everyone else does. I called the sheriff and said a neighbor reported a broken-in back door, and they responded and said, I thought you told us that the house was empty. I said, yeah, and they said, well, there's a house full of furniture here, so apparently you have a squatter, and there's nothing we can do.
So the guy moved in and brought his own furniture?
Yeah, it was a couple women and five guys when I arrived, and I had to I had to learn all about squatters very quickly, and found that, read a bunch of horror stories, and I just kind of dissected the laws and figured out loopholes and figured out that if I gain the squatter rights myself prior to them actually getting the rights, then I could switch places with them and essentially take over the home.
Squat in your own home. All right, so you said they had, how many men and women were in there?
There was two women and five two men that I witnessed leaving that morning.
Okay. So how go through the process of how you got into your own house and stayed there and eventually got these seven unwanted guests out.
So I think it's important to mention that it was not my house, and that's the key here, because the laws are written to prevent homeowners from doing this. So the house was owned by my mom. I had her write me a lease just in case. You know, a lot of squatters you hear have fake leases, so I wanted to be armed with, I wanted to be equal with them. And I cased out the house in the morning and waited for them to leave. And I immediately, I fixed the back door, I just barricaded it, secured the home, put up cameras, and I waited for them to return. They never actually had a lease, so I didn't have to bring the lease out. But I basically, on my channel, Outside the Box with Flash, I, videoed them and gave them, basically the option was they leave with their furniture or without.
did this go peacefully? Because you were outnumbered.
It did go peacefully. I was ready. I was expecting, just in case. I have to always be prepared for the worst. But, once they realized that the law was on my side, I have possession of the property, so I can defend my property. They were locked out before they even knew I was there. Before they even knew I was even on my way there, they had no idea. So since I had possession, they would have just been, making fools of themselves on camera. And in many cases, the difference between a squatter being arrested or not comes down to possession.
And were these people that had jobs? Like you said, they all left the house, and that gave you an opening to come in. Were they going to work, or?
I do not know about the masses. I do know that one of them I uncovered was a prison guard, and I actually show the prison uniform in my video.
you have a YouTube site, right?
Yes, Outside the Box with Flash.
Outside the Box with Flash. All right, now what do you provide to, like, somebody like me, right? Let's say I go off for 2 weeks on a vacation. I come home and I've got Mr. Squatter or a group of squatters in there. I call you up. What do you do for me?
Well, the first thing is my main objective is to change squatter laws. So I start every situation with a Zoom consultation where I would ask you to contribute a $150 donation to squatter law change. And then I would spend 40 minutes on a Zoom with you, and we would determine and personalize it. And I would simplify it for you. And in many cases, I'm just giving advice and helping a homeowner deal with the squatter, and I might be consulting on it. In some cases, I have a team, and they will hire us to go out and deal with the squatters ourselves.
And what do you do if you have to personally go out there with your team? What do you guys do?
So, well, we start out with up to 4 days, kind of at the starting level. We will go out. We will find out who the squatters are, do the background on them, find out as much information as we can. We'll scope it out. I did one last night a couple nights ago where we literally for 5 hours were sitting in a car watching a house. And we'll kind of figure out what their routine is and if they're leaving the property or not. And at that point, we determine if I can do a lockout, depending on how much stuff they have, or if we have to actually just knock on the door and walk past them and hand them a lease and say, I'm home. This is my home now.
Now, in the LA Times story, it said if you have to, you just live with them. And you'll just sit on the couch and you'll take the TV remote and you turn the music up loud and you start eating their food. Have you really done had to do that sort of thing?
Well, I mean, that I personally haven't seen the LA Times story yet. So, but the you know, I mean, if we move in, you know, it's more of, okay, we're putting cameras up in every room. We're going to turn this into a reality show. I'm going to expose you. I'm going to make sure that America knows who you are, where you are, and that you're doing this. And the next time you try to lease a property, they're going to know that they probably shouldn't rent to you.
Now, how long does it take before the squatter says, I don't need this in my life? I'm getting out.
Well, you know, if we determine we have to move in, I anticipate it's going to be anywhere from a day to 4 weeks. But, you know, and that's kind of the max. And it's never gone 4 weeks.
So you really have lived with some of the squatters.
I have not. I mean, you know, I would rather not live with the squatters. I have a couple teenagers at home that I'd rather live with.
Right.
But, you know, we have gone in as if we're going to live. And then they call the cops, and the cops basically say he has a legal right to be here. And then they say, well, we don't want to be filmed. And they say, well, legally he can film you in everywhere in the house except for your bedroom. And then, you know, I have a video with Adam Fleischman that says, well, you know, all I want is privacy. And LAPD says, if you want privacy, stay in your bedroom.
And so if I hired you, would I have to give you a temporary lease so you'd have the legal standing to do this?
Yes, I get a lease on every property. I lease the property as a renovation company so that we can go in and, you know, a lot of states have loopholes to get tenants out if you're doing major remodeling.
So what's the success rate?
Well, I mean, so far, I have some ongoing that I can't really put in that statistic yet, but so far I'm 100%. So, you know, people aren't expecting me. They're expecting you to go civil, take them to civil court. One of the things that I teach is flipping the process. So one of the things that I do is my philosophy is I would rather force them to fight me to get back into a property than me spend my time fighting to get them out.
All right. People need your services. How can they find you?
Squatterhunters.com.
Squatterhunters.com.
Zoom. Yeah, and just they can sign the petition there. They can contribute if they'd like to help out financially, and they can also email to schedule a Zoom call.
Just one more question: you're not nervous about having some kind of physical confrontation? They have weapons. I mean, some of these people are crazy, and they're whacked out on drugs, I would imagine.
Yeah, you know, I do go into every situation expecting the worst. I am trained both physically and mentally. I am certified in de-escalation, and I go in armed myself. So, and I don't anymore, out of the request of my daughter, I don't go in by myself anymore.
All right. Well, Flash Shelton, thank you for coming on with us.
All right. I appreciate you having me. Thank you. And just I'd like your listeners to sign the petition.
All right. Thank you very much. Flash Shelton, Squatter Hunter. Deborah, get his name.
This gets me so mad. How dare you squat in somebody's house and they have to go through all of this?
And these people have no problem. And it's really hard to get them out. It takes a while legally.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
On from 1 till 4, and then after 4 o'clock, John Cobalt Show on Demand, the podcast. Still, we're talking during the commercial break about this squatter epidemic, really. There's more people squatting. And, I had no idea. I figured it was just a drug addict crawling in, looking for shelter. They actually move in with their furniture and families and friends.
Ouch!
This guy has a video site. I got to go look at it. Flash Shelton is his name. So he started out as a handyman and put together like a handyman trade organization. Well, interesting guy. Anyway, kind of connected to all this. You know, I've been telling you that there's this constant drumbeat that we have to slow traffic down here in Los Angeles because pedestrian fatalities are way up, and that resulted in Measure HLA passing, which will be a disaster if it ever really gets off the ground. And this is a road diet for all the major boulevards in Los Angeles. And people, I guarantee you, people didn't know what the hell they were voting on when they approved this thing last week. It's going to be terrible. Now, the claim that more people are getting run over comes from really screwed statistics. It's homeless people getting run over. Homeless people, not normal pedestrians. Most people who aren't whacked out on drugs and alcohol know how to cross the street, and they do. And the innocent people who get run over by somebody who's whacked out on drugs and alcohol, and it doesn't matter how you configure the roads and how many laws you have. If they take in too much booze or too many drugs, then yeah, they might run you over. But most of the time, we all know how to cross the street. It starts with just looking both ways. Although I notice now, in the age of the screen addicts, the social media addicts, scrolling, I can't tell you how many people wander into the street because they're not paying any attention at all. They don't stop at the curb and look both ways. They never do. They just keep walking, and they just walk right in front of cars all the time. Now, there is another twist to this, and it involves homeless people. What do you do if somebody decides to spend the night squatting underneath your car, sleeping under your car? It does not end well. Let's play this clip from Fox 11 reporter Gigi Graciette.
Tragic is the word all the way around. We're on Reseda Boulevard between Devonshire and Lassen. And take a look at the video per police. A woman got into her car early this morning. She was heading off to work. And as she pulled out onto Reseda Boulevard where she had been parked, she felt a thump of sorts and thought she had hit something. So she immediately got out of her car to look and realized it was a man. Police say they believe the man is homeless and had been sleeping underneath her car. Sadly, that man was pronounced dead here at the scene. Now, traffic between Lassen and Mayall on Reseda Boulevard is closed for this investigation. But right now, the working theory is this is just a tragic accident. That woman had no way of knowing there was a man underneath her car.
This is Karen Bass's Los Angeles. We got to stick our head under our car when we park in the street, and probably if you have an open driveway, too. Probably if you're in a garage. This is what we have to deal with now? Some wacko drug addict crawls under the car? And then they close the street for an investigation. What's to investigate? Just, you know, scrape them up and let's move on with things. But you see, that's another statistic of they're going to say, oh, look at that. Pedestrian deaths are up. It's stuff like this. It's the drug zombies stumbling into the street. And then at night, especially in the bad neighborhoods, you have all sorts of crazy criminal types and enough drunk people and those street takeover guys. Of course, they're going to hit more homeless people who are moping around. You know, it's a convergence of lawlessness. And then who do they punish? The rest of us. Trying to manipulate our emotions, saying, pedestrian deaths are skyrocketing. We must do something to slow down Los Angeles. It's pretty slow in Los Angeles, I'll tell you. You know what? To get to my house, I make a left turn off Sunset Boulevard onto a side street. The side street eventually winds to where I live, right? You know how many cars were waiting in line to make a right turn on Sunset?
How many?
As I was making the left, there's a long line on my left. Yesterday, there were 78 cars at 5 o'clock in the afternoon in line, snaked down the road, bend to the right, across another intersection, 78 cars. And what they want to do is add road diet and eliminate lanes. And part of it is because they closed the PCH because of the rock slide. And you know, the rule on the west side of Los Angeles, if one thing goes wrong, all the main roads are blocked for hours and hours. And that's what happened. PCH was blocked going north. And I had 78 cars in my neighborhood. We're talking a real side street. There's no painted lane in the middle of the road, nothing. In fact, I could barely get down this road because they park on both sides and residential homes, and it can barely squeeze through because of all the cars backed up. All right. We come back. Today was Robert Hur. Robert Hur was the special counsel who announced a few weeks ago he was not going to charge Joe Biden with any crimes for mishandling classified documents, even though there were a lot of documents all over his various properties, because Biden was just a well-meaning old man with bad memory loss. And this started a huge firestorm. And so he was before the House today having to explain himself. What the hell are you doing telling the truth? We'll get to that coming up.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
This morning, by the way, coming up in a half an hour, we're going to have Laura Engel on from News Nation, the cable news network. She is back covering the Scott Peterson case again. She did that over 20 years ago when she was a reporter here on KFI. And she's back covering the same story. And we're going to bring you the same story because the Innocence Project LA has made an appeal to a judge to reopen the case. They claim there's DNA evidence to test. And they have a wacky theory involving the brown van again. If you remember that far, it was Scott Garagos who claimed that there was some kind of satanic cult inside the brown van who, I don't know, wanted to sacrifice Lacey and her unborn child or some nonsense like that. Well, it was a bloody mattress in that van. It was from a group of burglars who had stolen from a home in the area. Anyway, the Innocence Project has got it before a judge, and the judge said, okay, I'll listen to it. And there was a hearing today. We'll see if anything happened. Laura Engel coming on after 3 o'clock. Now, today was the day that Robert Hur appeared before Congress, before the House, and in front of the House Judiciary Committee. And you may not be familiar with the name, but he was the special prosecutor who investigated what Joe Biden did with all those documents. And as it turns out, he had a lot of documents, and there was a motivation for keeping the documents. Part of Hur's testimony involved his investigation into a ghostwriter that Biden had contracted with to write Biden's memoir, his time as vice president, and he was getting $8 million for this book. So he wanted to keep the files that had the secrets that would show that he, Joe Biden, was right about the war in Afghanistan and other controversies going on in the Obama administration. Because apparently back then there was a great dispute over whether to send a surge of troops into Afghanistan or not. Obama wanted to. Biden did not. And so he kept the paperwork, which was all classified documents, and took it home with him. And then started reading them over the phone to the ghostwriter. And, you know, he had other documents scattered about from various times. What Robert Hur did, and I did like this guy, he seemed to be a straight shooter, is he looked at the case, and a prosecutor, a district attorney, a deputy DA, their bar is, do I have enough evidence that will convict a jury beyond a reasonable doubt? Not only is the evidence strong enough, but there isn't any counter evidence that will somehow weaken the case. And he looked at Biden's demeanor. And we got the transcripts are out now. And during his deposition with Robert Hur and the other Justice Department attorneys, Biden had some memory problems. In fact, Hur famously wrote in his report that he's a well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. And part of the rationale for not charging him was he didn't think that the jury would convict a guy with a bad memory. Because that bad memory could overwhelm the case. You know, that maybe he forgot how important the documents are. He forgot where the documents were. He forgot he brought them to the home, right? You could see that if you got a witness who is failing, who's near 80 years old, the jury may be reluctant to accuse him of malevolent intentions, let's say. Well, by writing that, which is the truth, I think we've seen enough of Biden, is that, yes, he could be at times a well-meaning elderly man with poor memory. It's clearly he's got cognitive issues. I'm so sick of this stupid debate. If it was your dad, my dad, yeah, that's what you'd be saying, okay? You wouldn't be letting him back out of the driveway. You wouldn't let him drive your kids around. And you know, everybody knows that. That's what's irritating about this. But Hur was getting it from both sides. From one side, it was idiots like Adam Schiff, who, God forbid, is going to be the next California senator, unless Steve Garvey can beat him. But Schiff, you know, thought it. All these Democrats, and I realize they're play-acting, they're pretending that it was unnecessary, it was mean, it was unwarranted, it was rude, blah, 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 blah. It's telling the truth. It's the only way you get a lot of criticism in life is you tell the truth. And Schiff knows it's the truth. But Schiff is a professional liar. He lied about Trump's Russian hoax. He's lying now about Biden's senility problems. That's what he does for a living. He lies. And, you know, he gets a fair amount of votes for lying. That's just the way the world is. On the other hand, the Republicans were beating on Hur for not bringing official charges against Biden. And Hur said it's about it, whether there's reasonable doubt. And part of it is his cognitive issues, which is legitimate. If you can't, you're not going to go and prosecute the president of the United States unless it's 100% slam dunk, no doubt about it, victory. Nobody's going to do that. And if you've got a guy whose memory is failing badly, then your case sinks. Any event, let's play the Adam Schiff clip, and you'll get an idea of what Hur was dealing with.
Mr. Hur, you cannot tell me you're so naive as to think your words would not have created a political firestorm. You understood that, didn't you, when you wrote those words, when you decided to include those words, when you decided to go beyond specific references to documents? You understood how they would be manipulated by my colleagues here on the GOP side of the aisle and by President Trump. You understood that, did you not?
Congressman, what I understood is the regulations that govern my conduct as special counsel.
And those regulations
me to write a confidential report for the Attorney General,
which you knew would not be confidential.
My decision, and that is what I did, Congressman. I followed the rules.
You knew it would not be confidential. You knew it would not be confidential, didn't you?
Sir, the regulations required me to write a confidential report explaining my decision to the Attorney General.
Which you knew would be released.
It was up to the Attorney General to determine
you understood it would be released. Did you not?
Be released consistent with DOJ policy.
You understood it would be released. You understood it would be released.
I understood from the Attorney General's public comments that he would make as much of my report public as he could, consistent with legal requirements in DOJ.
You also understand.
But it was true. And I don't know how you do a report like this and not release it publicly, ultimately. And again, it was the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, dyed-in-the-wool Democrat, nearly made the Supreme Court from the Obama years. And there was a legitimate reason to do the investigation, as there is a legitimate reason to do an investigation and possible trial with Trump as well over the documents. You're not supposed to take them home. You're simply not supposed to do that. And so if you take classified documents home, it doesn't matter who you are. Now, when it comes to charging, you got to have a case beyond a reasonable doubt, especially when it's a president. I don't think this is complicated. I'll play you one more clip. This is her talking to Pramila Jayapal. Yeah, this is another Democratic representative. They start fighting over the word exonerate. Listen to this.
So this lengthy, expensive, and independent investigation resulted in a complete exoneration of President Joe Biden. For every document you discussed in your report, you found insufficient evidence that the president violated any laws about possession or retention of classified materials. The primary law that you analyzed for potential prosecution was part of the Espionage Act, 18 U.S.C. 793E, which criminalizes willful retention or disclosure of national defense information. Is that correct?
Congresswoman, that is one statute that we analyzed. I need to go back and make sure that I take note of a word that you used, exoneration. That
Mr.
is not a word
Kerr,
that
I'm going to continue with my questions.
My task as
I'm going to continue with my questions. I know that the term
I ultimately reached.
I know that the term.
Let me stop this here. So this is what she does. She uses an incorrect word. He did not exonerate Biden. She uses an incorrect word. Her says, "Well, I can't let that stand." And then when he tries to explain, she talks over the top. Because what she wants to do is get the soundbite on TV. Exonerate has a specific definition. It means absolve someone from blame. Her did not absolve Biden. What he said is the case wasn't good enough to take to trial, in part because Biden's memory was so faulty. That is a difference. And everybody there, most of these Congress people are lawyers. They know what exonerate means. They know that was not an exoneration, that Biden got a senility pass. That's the truth. But again, you tell the truth and you get piled on. We have, wait, there's some, yes. Yes. Going to read a line here and you try to figure out what this might mean. I'd rather die hot than live ugly. What does that mean? I'll tell you. We come back.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
John Cobalt Show, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Also, Moistline. We need more calls. We have space. 877-MOIST-86. 877-MOIST-86. If you can't follow Moist on your phone, it's 877-664-7886. All right, and leave whatever is disturbing you on that number. And the Moist line is coming up, I guess, on Friday. Today's Tuesday, right? I'm trying to keep track. After 3 o'clock, Scott Peterson, another hearing. They want to reopen the case from the L.A. Innocence Project. And we have Laura Engel back there. Covered it for KFI many years ago, and she's working now for News Nation, the cable TV outlet, and what went on today in court as they try to reopen the case and get DNA testing of evidence, we'll tell you. All right. This headline jumped out at me. Deborah, you want to hear this? Tell Chris Little to hit the hallway, all right? We're trying to work here.
I just told him.
just go do something. No. Don't interrupt.
Oh,
just
no,
go.
We're not gonna have this
go
again.
Away. There, how about that?
Oh, no.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, God. Not on my shift.
All right. So in a Washington Post, there was a headline, "I'd rather die hot than live ugly." All right, so that grabbed my attention.
Yeah, that would grab my attention too.
And it turns out that tanning your body, deep tanning, is back. It's hot. It's all over social media.
It's not good for your body. It's terrible for your skin.
These young women don't care.
There's tanning sprays.
Well, that is part of the story as well. And apparently people showed up at the Oscars with extreme tans.
I noticed.
Whose tan did you notice?
Oh, my gosh. All the women in those strapless gowns. Almost all the women, I should say.
How about the guys? It said Matthew McConaughey and Bradley Cooper.
Well, Matthew McConaughey, yes, that was... That was a little outrageous.
Well,
I forgot about that.
Yeah, if you go online and search for tanning, you could find 200 different tanning products on Sephora or Ulta just by themselves. There is now bronzing powders, bronzing creams, mitts, and towels. I don't know what that is.
Well, look.
You actually know this stuff.
Full disclosure. No, I've never gone to a tanning salon, but I have bought tanning sprays, and sometimes they turn your skin orange, or they have this horrible smell, or you look like Trump. Exactly. Or you miss spots, right? So if I put it on my legs, then maybe part of my leg looks nice and tan, and then there's white spots. So I've given up on that.
I knew somebody on the West Side and used to have a tanning bed, but like a guy would come over and spray her body. And that's what she did all day.
Well, that is better than going to a tanning salon with the UV rays.
But she looked orange.
Well, I know. You have to. Some people do it and they look really good. And then others look orange.
There's lotions and serums.
Yep.
Words. There are pills that will dye your skin from the inside out.
Oh, I would never do that.
Isn't that creepy?
Yeah, that is.
You're going to dye your skin? Yeah, I'm sure there's no bad side effects from that.
Oh, right.
There's nasal sprays that increase your body's ability to produce melanin. Then that darkens your skin.
You know, look, everybody does look good with a tan, but you know what? I'm okay with my white legs.
There's tanning oils and self-tanning mousses. There's all kinds of goop. What I remember girls used to do, when I was in high school, they would rub baby oil all over their body. You did that?
Yes, I did.
That really burns your body.
Oh, yeah. If I showed you pictures, and I don't have them anymore, I destroyed them.
Well, why'd you destroy them?
Because I looked horrible. But I used to go to the beach in the summer almost every day, and I would do that. I would put baby oil on and other oils, and my skin was black. I hate to see what's going to happen to my skin as I age. I stopped that. Relatively at a young age.
Well, if you see grizzled middle-aged women, that's what happened.
Yeah, I know.
They cook themselves on the beach, and then they look like leather. They look like footballs.
I know. But you know what? Back in the day, we didn't know how bad it was.
But it's coming back. See, that's what was amazing about it. Is all this is coming out. What else do I remember? Oh, they would like aim mirrors at their bodies in order to concentrate the sunlight.
I didn't do that.
And they'd lie on aluminum foil. They were literally cooking themselves.
I know.
You'd walk along the beach and there'd be smoke rising. Women, they'd look like overcooked hot dogs. But you know why? It's because of social media. And that headline that I told you about, let me find out. Okay, it was a post on social media, a video. A woman described herself as a tanning addict, and she wrote, "It's a problem, but I'd rather die hot than live ugly."
Well, that's...
And then she had a series of hashtags. Hashtag YOLO.
You only live once.
LOL and sunbed. And this is what I love about social media. It exposes the stupid in spectacular fashion.
Wait, sun bed or sun dead?
Sun bed.
Oh, okay. Had to clarify.
The hashtag tanning has generated 4.1 billion views from people cooking and browning their bodies. Even after all those decades of warnings. God knows what a pill that dyes your skin.
That does.
We come back. Lacey Peterson, Scott Peterson, Scott killed Lacey, but they keep trying. They keep trying to find a way to get him out of prison. And now they're looking at, they claim new DNA evidence from the Los Angeles Innocence Project, and they got a judge to do a hearing. We have Laura Engel, who covered the original trial way back on KFI, and she works for News Nation now, and she's going to tell us what went on today in the courtroom, if anything. Deborah Mark, live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom. Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.